Open our Bibles to Luke chapter 12. And this morning we'll consider verse 34. Luke 12, 34. This is the fifth and last statement in our text of verses 13 through 34 of Luke 12. Luke 12, 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the last of the five statements that we had singled out in these verses. And the theme is still the same. We haven't changed the theme. The theme is to have the right perspective or the right priorities in life. And let's review again the occasion that prompted Jesus to go into such detail on the subject, beginning with the parable of the rich fool and ending with verse 31, the command to seek the kingdom of God. Let's go back to verse 13 of our chapter and read verses 13 through 15. This is what started this long discourse on getting the right perspective and having the right priorities. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother, divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then the 19 verses that follow are a response to this man's request. Now, his request doesn't seem to be bad or wrong. It doesn't seem out of the ordinary nor out of order. Just taking the request as it stands, there's really nothing wrong with it that we can see. But this request revealed where his heart was. That's what we're going to consider this morning, where your heart, you know, where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. And this request revealed his heart, where his priorities were. And to Jesus, who judged all things in the light of eternity, they were wrong. It might not seem wrong to you and I, and again, there's nothing wrong with having an inheritance or getting an inheritance. But Jesus detected something here that was important, and I'm impressed that Jesus took so much time to discuss something that seems of so little importance and value. Why didn't Jesus just say, "Hey, don't bother me with such trifle or matters," and just go on about his business? Why did he stop and take this opportunity to go into such detail? I believe that he thought it was important and necessary to impress on everybody that was there, that was listening, the need to have the right priority with eternity in view. And I believe the last statement that we're going to consider today in verse 34 sums up the whole subject. Now, the word treasure simply means a deposit. It comes from a root word which means to place. It can mean either a receptacle for keeping valuables, or it could speak of the valuables themselves. It also means that which is of exceptional value and kept safe. And it's translated, especially in the King James, treasure, wealth, and riches. There's nothing hard to understand about the word. Pretty straightforward. So a treasure, for our purpose this morning, a treasure is a placing of something one considers of value for safekeeping. That's what a treasure is and what we'll consider this morning. Now, the value is set by the one who places it for safekeeping. I think you understand that you don't treasure something that you don't think is worth anything. The thing that you leave out in the yard to get rained on and the sun beats down on them and maybe the neighbor kids walk on it, whatever. If you leave it out in the yard, it's not really all that valuable. You don't think it's worth wasting your time, so just kind of leave it outside. Now, the underlying thought here is of value or worth. Now, there is really, that I know of anyway, there's no hard and fast rule for fixing worth or value. Each society, each ethnic group has their own set of values. For instance, some ancient societies valued gold, while others did not. Not everybody in the ancient world had the same concept of the value and importance of gold. I think today that's probably changed. But I'm talking about in the ancient world. Some put a high price on one thing and some put a high price on another. The garage sale concept was established on the fact that one man's junk is another man's treasure, or woman, whichever it is, whichever does the garage sailing. But that's kind of the concept. You have a garage full of stuff. Of course, you can't get your car in, so you got to get rid of it. You got a whole garage full of stuff that's worthless and of no value to you. But rather than just throwing it away, you set it out on the lawn, and you sell it to somebody who has a use for it. Somebody comes along and says, "Oh, I need that." One person says, "This is worthless." But the other, for the 10 cents or 50 cents or dollar that he pays, saying it's worth something to me. So a treasure is what you think is important or valuable. And taking Jesus' statement, we see that the treasure doesn't follow the heart. The heart follows the treasure. Where the treasure is, your heart will be. It doesn't say where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. It's where the treasure is. I'm going to read the Message paraphrase, which I think brings out the point in this place anyway. Paraphrases it this way. The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. I'll repeat that. The place where your treasure is the place where you most want to be and end up being. The place, the things, the activities, thoughts, concepts that we consider important and of value is where our heart will be. That's where our attention will be, our passion, our priority. And whatever affects those things, whatever they are, will concern us. Our time, energy, money, our emotions will be directed and affected by this treasure that we have valued. Let's turn to Isaiah 55 and read the first two verses. Because Isaiah asks an interesting question, makes some statements, but he asks an interesting question that I believe we would do well to consider and answer along the line of treasure and what is real treasure. Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Then he asks the question, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. We started out this section in our study with the rich man giving his soul some advice. He said, delight yourself in these things that I have for you. Provided for you. Isaiah says, why do you spend money? Why do you treasure? Why do you fix a value of such importance on things that do not, cannot, will not satisfy? And that's what treasure is all about. That should be the end result of a treasure. It's something that gives us some kind of satisfaction in one way or another. Otherwise, it's not a treasure. No matter how much it may bring in the marketplace or whatever, if it doesn't satisfy, what good is it? And the rich fool thought that his soul would delight itself in the abundance that he had stored in his bigger, new, and improved barns. But let's turn to Ephesians 3:20, and Paul tells us here of the real abundance in which the soul can and does delight. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your affections, your attention will be where your treasure is. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him, to Christ, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. This is the delight, or this is the abundance that the soul can delight in, Christ. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask. This is what the soul can and does delight in. It delights in that abundance which Christ supplies. And this abundance is not necessarily seen. In fact, most of the time it isn't seen. We're talking here of unseen things. John 10 and verse 10, Jesus speaks of the abundant life that he came to give. John 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. Once again, this is what satisfies, the abundant life that Jesus gives. Not simply life. Not simply initial salvation. Not simply having or receiving initially the life of Christ. But to go on and to experience the abundance of that life. We have an abundance that we will never be able to comprehend in its fullness in the life of Christ. During our stay here on this earth, we'll not reach the limits of that abundant life, but we can from day to day explore and enter in more and more to the depths and the widths, the heights, the breadths of the abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 17. Just looking at a few scriptures here that speak to us of the abundance that is the real treasure which God would have us store up and value. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Here we have the abundance of his grace. The abundance of his grace. Now that is a treasure. Do you value the grace of God? Not only in salvation and initial salvation, we're saved by grace, but as we live the life of Christ that we have within us, as we yield to that life and continue here upon this earth, we need the grace of God. Do we value that grace? What is it a treasure to you? There's an abundance of it. 1 Peter 1:3. We won't turn and read there, but it speaks there of the abundant mercy that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could go on with more statements about that abundance which God has for us. That's what our soul delights in. So we need to ask ourselves the question this morning. Perhaps you do from time to time. I think we should stop and ask ourselves once in a while and answer Isaiah's question. What is the most important thing in your life? That is your treasure. That's the thing that your heart most longs after. What captivates your attention and interest? That is what consumes your time and energy. We don't waste our time on things that we think are not important. And this takes us back to verse 31, which we considered last Sunday of our text in Luke 12, seek the kingdom of God. Let's turn back to Luke 12 and read verse 33. Luke 12 and reading verse 33. Sell what you have and give. Just a second here. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Now this is the bad thing about treasures. is that other people sometimes think that they're valuable too, and they try to steal them, whatever that treasure might be. And as you all are very well aware, whatever treasure we have in this life along the way of money or currency or stocks, bonds, whatever you want to throw out there, they aren't all that secure. Somebody can steal them, they can lose their value. Jesus says there is a treasure where no thief will approach and the moths won't eat it. Now, I don't know whether, do moths eat money? It does decompose along the way, I know that. But we have to ask ourselves this morning, what is our preference? What is really valuable to us? I'm going to read the words of a song here in just a second. And my question is, can we sing with a true heart this following song? Are we willing to be as fanatical as the song implies? Is this where our treasure is? The song goes this way: I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. That's easy to say, but we have to make decisions along the way. Which will we choose? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. Now here's the value that whoever wrote this song sets on Jesus. He put a value on this treasure. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering soul needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead. Can we repeat those words, or did you repeat them as I read them? Saying, amen, that's exactly how I feel. It depends. It depends on the value that you have set, where your treasure is. I'm going to read a verse from number 7 in the Grace and Glory. Though the world has gold and grandeur, yet by God 'tis reckoned poor. He alone has riches truly who has Christ and nothing more. Now I realize that all of us here this morning have possessions. We have other things in this world. But we need to stop and think and make the decision, if that time would come, would we truly, really, honestly give everything that we have for Jesus? Now, He hasn't asked that of us yet, but you don't know when He might. The other day, maybe it was yesterday or the day before, my wife and I were we're discussing retiring. I don't know why. And we were thinking that, well, we gotten a letter from a person we knew or know that is getting ready to retire. And we were talking about retiring and some that we know that have already retired and some that are in the process and thinking about retiring. And in the conversation, my wife reminded me that I would have already been retired had I accepted a job with Cargill as a field auditor like 40 years ago. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea about my wife, because I do say some things about my wife once in a while that you probably wonder about. But she was not criticizing and she was not complaining, just stating a fact. My wife has never complained about living situations. Sometimes she never complains, but not about living situations. She's never criticized me for the decisions. She's always been beside me. And so I want you to understand that this is not a put down on my wife for criticizing me for not taking that job, because that is not the case. At the time that I could have made that decision, we decided it was more important and of greater value to go to Jamaica and later to Paraguay as missionaries. We had a decision to make The opportunity was there. Both opportunities were there. And we had to make a decision. It was literally a decision of where our treasure was. And I can say some 40 years later that we found immeasurable treasure in Paraguay. We found unsearchable riches in being led by his nail-pierced hand. It has been well worth it to be faithful to his dear cause. We have been richly paid with wealth of a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. Now, I realize that you don't have to be in full-time ministry for this to apply. Just because you have a job and you go to work every day doesn't mean that your treasure's in the wrong place. It can very well be in the right place. I think of Brother Freestone, who for years peddled prescriptions from place to place. But I don't believe that his heart was in it. I believe he had a job, but his treasure was in the right place. So I'm not saying here this morning that you, if you have a job, that you're never gonna have your treasure in the right place. That's not what I mean. I'm just speaking from experience, and that was my experience. And if I had to make that choice again, knowing what I know now, that it's going to be quite a few years before I'll be able to retire, if I ever am able to. But I would still make the same decision. I would still make the same decision. I've never been sorry that I chose to store my treasures in heaven. And if I have any regret this morning, it's that I was not able to accomplish more in the 25 years that we were in active missionary work in Jamaica and Paraguay. The Bible is full of examples. Let's look at a few of them. We'll look at four of them. Starting in Genesis, the Bible is full of examples of those who had their treasure in the right place. They had their priorities straight. And this is the point that we're trying to get across here, is to get your priorities straight. Get them in the right order. Their hearts were set on things above because that's where their treasure was. Well, let's start in Genesis chapter 39 with Joseph. Just a few verses here out of his life. But it will show us that he had a treasure. He had a value. And where that treasure was is where his heart was. And it caused him to make a right decision. Genesis 39 verses 7 through 9. Genesis 39 verses 7 through 9. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, that is Joseph's master's wife, cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife." How then, this shows us that he had his priorities in order. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph had his priorities straight. He had them in the right order, in the right place. He could have done this thing, and perhaps nobody would have ever known. Maybe the wife would have kept quiet. You don't know. But he did the right thing because his heart was where his treasure was. He valued the commandments of God. He valued the precepts of God above any human advantage that he might have gained through committing this act. Let's look at Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, another example that we often look to, especially in this area of having our priorities straight, having them in the right place, the right order. What is the most important? And here we are talking, in his case at least, we are talking literal treasure. Treasures which could be seen and touched. By faith, this is Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Notice that he set a value. The word esteeming here has the thought of setting a value. He set a greater value on the reproach of Christ than the value of the treasures of Egypt. Now, the treasures of Egypt were very valuable. Look how valuable they are today. If you had an artifact from that particular era in your house, it would be worth a good bit of money. And it was worth money then. So this is not just some theory we're talking about here. Moses had to make that choice. And I don't consider it an easy choice. As we read through the words here, it seems like, you know, it's just an easy thing to do. Well, have you ever had to make a choice like that? I'm sure you have. You know, it isn't an easy thing to do. But he had his priorities right. He valued the reproach of Christ to have greater importance than the value of the treasures of Egypt. Then let's look at one other in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 1. There are so many examples that we could take from the Old Testament of people whose treasure was indeed in the right place, and that's where their heart was, and that's why they made right decisions. Why do people constantly make wrong decisions? Because they have their eye on the wrong value. They don't value things as God values. Daniel 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Once again, he, as Joseph, valued the precepts of his God. They were of great value to him. They weren't just some nice little things that he quoted now and then to make himself feel good. He took them seriously. What God had said was his treasure. It had great value, great worth for him. And it was worth more than getting in good with the people that surrounded him in a foreign country. He could have gone along with it, and he probably could have become buddy buddies with the people in charge, and he probably could have gained a great following. But he didn't want houses and lands. He didn't want man's applause. He, like the writer of the song, would rather have Jesus. He would rather have God's way, God's will. And the last one we'll consider is in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul at one time had valued some things that he came to understand were not worth the value he had set on them. And he changed his values. He changed his values, and it caused him to suffer for the cause of Christ. Acts 20, verses 23 through 24. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why? Because he valued something else greater even than his own life, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This was of greater value to Paul, literally, than his own life. You know the story. You know that Paul did indeed lose his life. He did indeed lose his life. He had set a value. He compared the value of what his life was worth and the value of fulfilling the will of God, what that was worth. And that was worth more to him than his own life. And he writes to the Colossians in Colossians 3:2. And he certainly was not writing something here of which he himself had not participated. He exhorts them in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind. That's where your heart is. The heart is the emotions. What causes us to do what we do and react how we react. And he exhorts them to set their mind on things above. Now, the only way to do that is for your treasure to be in heaven. You're not going to set your thoughts on things above if your treasure is here on this earth. If the things that you value most are here on this earth, you're not going to be thinking about heaven. But we must do as Moses did, and that is esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of this life, of all that we can come into or have or experience in this life. We must have a heavenly vision as Paul did. And he obeyed that vision. He told Festus, he says, I have a heavenly vision, and I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. We must adjust our priorities to agree with God's priorities. Let's look once again at David. We've used David quite a few times as an example, but in 1 Chronicles 29, I want to look once more at David as an example of one who had his priorities straight. He knew where his treasure was. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3. These are the words of King David. Moreover, because I have set my affection, notice what he says here, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. For several years, David was laying aside for the building of the temple. He laid aside all the materials that were necessary when it came time for Solomon to build the temple. He had everything he needed. Then he goes on to say, my own special treasure of gold and silver. That impresses me. I have prepared for the house, the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. So you see, it is possible to have natural possessions and still have your treasure in the right place. David set his affection on things above. And although he had earthly treasure of silver and gold, it meant nothing to him if it could not be used for God's glory here on earth. What did he use this treasure of gold and silver for? To build the house of the Lord. His greatest treasure was stored in heaven. It was no loss to him to give that treasure for the building of the temple because he had a greater treasure in heaven, and that treasure was never going to diminish nor disappear. Let's read his words in Psalms 119, verses 36 and 37. Psalm 119, verses 36 and 37. I believe this is the constant cry and thought of the heart of David. And he writes it down here. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. This is an interesting statement. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Now, we have just read the statement that he had silver and gold. He had abundance. He had possessions. But what were their value to him? Turn my attention from the things of no value of this world. As the song, Until Then, there's a verse that states like this, the things of earth will dim and lose their value. Now, even economically speaking, that happens all the time, doesn't it? But I'm not talking about what the economy does as far as value is concerned, but what I do as a person bound for heaven, as a person who will very quickly enter into eternity. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we remember they are borrowed for a while. And things of earth that caused our heart to tremble, remember they will only bring a smile. Things that cause us to literally tremble, to fear, to be concerned and to worry, they are nothing compared to what we will enter into on the other side. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. And isn't that our experience day by day? Hasn't that been the experience of mankind down through the histories of time? Haven't riches always had wings? Not just in our time, not just in our day. It's always been that way and always will. We need to have our priorities straight. Let's turn to Philippians 3. We'll end here with Philippians chapter 3 and reading verses 19 through 21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Philippians 3, verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Set your mind on things above. But there are those who continue to set their mind on earthly things. And then Paul gives us the reason for this, and this is our treasure. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. That is my treasure this morning. Not in keeping this body in the best shape that I can. I mean, I do try to do that, of course. But that isn't my treasure. That isn't my goal. I just want to be here as long as the Lord wants me to be, because I have a treasure on the other side that I'm longing to enjoy. I'm not enjoying it to its fullness here. I enjoy the things of the Lord, of course. But there are things on the other side that I am not able to enjoy yet. That's where my heart is. My heart is on the other side because that's where my treasure is. That's what it's all about for you and I as a child of God. Not this earth, but that which is to come. Lord bless you.